Well, good morning. It is good to see you here today. Nice, brisk morning. We have a lot of announcements. We are going to be working on food boxes today, blessing boxes to distribute to some of the needy in our community. And we need volunteers at 3:30 to help to move those blessing boxes out here to the foyer from the fellowship hall. And then those that are willing to pray with families when their cars arrive to pick up their boxes at 3:45. So if you can come and be a part of that ministry, it would be a blessing not only to those that are organizing this, but also to the families that you'll be impacting. We do have church conference tonight at 5:30, church business. We ask you to come and to give attention to that. And also just to let you know that over the Father's Day and Mother's Day holidays, we took up a hunger offering, and we received an acknowledgement regarding that offering, and they just wanted us to know that because we gave, there was food security to college students in Edinburgh, Texas. Safe drinking water was supplied for people in the Kibera slum in Nairobi, Kenya, and immediate hunger relief to villages across Cambodia and more. And so with 6 million meals provided, you and I were a part of that offering and that ministry. And so the Lord is to be praised for that, but we do thank you for your participation and then in any future opportunities to be able to give. Would also inform you that there is a mailbox back in the foyer. And that is a ministry of our GA ministry. Whatever you put in there, if you put an offering inside the little tub, that gives the GA's opportunity to give to the Lottie Moon offering. We are continuing to collect for Lottie Moon foreign missions offering this month. And so if you have not gone by there, you probably have some cards in there. People have given you a Christmas card. Stop by, get your card before you go home. We want you to have that. Also, read your bulletin because we do have some things coming up. Next Sunday, we will have a candlelight service only. It will be Christmas Eve next Sunday, and we want our church family to come together. We'll do a candlelight service, and we'll have Lord's Supper, and we'll be dismissed. And so we want you to be a part of that as well. Allow me also to remind you that Encounter for the Youth event will be happening again this year, and it will happen in January, early January, in fact, the 5th through the 7th. This year they're going to do it a little differently. They're partnering with First United Methodist Church and Vanderbilt Baptist, and they will be meeting out at Breckenridge for all the services. But they want you to know they still need folks that will be host homes for our students from our church. And so if you can contact church office or one of the youth committee members, they would be glad to get you hooked up for that great opportunity that happens in early January. And because next week is Christmas weekend, that'll be upon us very, very rapidly. So if you can give attention and prayerful attention to that, it would certainly be a help to that committee. So we ask you to respond in that way. And then on a different note, I would like to pray before our deacon comes this morning to pray. Brother Zach Wittenberg is going to come pray for our service. But I received a text from our associational minister, Walter Jackson, yesterday morning. He and Lisa's oldest son, Landon, was involved in an accident at the factory he works at. A piece of equipment exploded, and he ended up with a lot of plastic chemicals down his throat and in his nose, burned his face badly. And they're not sure what's going to happen, obviously, with the finish of this. And so they're asking us to pray. And I would like to lead us in prayer for Landon Jackson and for the Walter Jackson family and for all the medical staff that are going to be ministering to him at this time. So bow with me at this time. Father, we yield our heart to you this morning. We thank you for the privilege and the great joy that it is to worship our God, who's creator and redeemer, the one who will bring us to himself because we have trusted Christ. Lord God, as we meet together, we also acknowledge that there are some that have traveled. They're not in our midst. We pray you grant a blessing and safety to them. And we also lift up our brother, Walter Jackson, and his wife, Lisa, as they are very concerned about their son, Landon, who was involved in an accident yesterday. And Lord God, you know all the details. You know his body. We entrust him to your care. We pray that you touch his body and give him restoration. We pray for the medical staff as they give attention to him, that Lord, you give them insight and wisdom. Guide their hands. Be with this family, Father, and embrace them and hold them and make your presence very much known to them. Lord God, as we entrust land into your hands, we give you thanks in advance for how you're going to work out your purposes and your name glorified and do good for your people. And Father, we pray these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, if Zach Wittenberg will come at this time and lead us as we prepare our hearts for worship this morning.
Would you bow with me, please? Father God, we thank you for this gorgeous day that you've blessed us with, this beautiful, beautiful weather. Father, thank you for every blessing that you give us each and every day. Father, help us to never take that for granted, to never to just always be appreciative for everything that we have, Father. Lord, I pray that you would forgive us when we fail you. Forgive us when we are not obedient to the leading of your Holy Spirit, and help us to just look to you each and every day to seek you, Father. And help us to forgive those around us that we feel have wronged us or hurt us. Father, help us to be forgiving to them and just to move past those things and just be thankful for those people in our lives, Lord. None of us are perfect. We all make mistakes, and I just pray that we would recognize that and move beyond it and just show the love that you would like us to, that you want us to, that you've called us to, Father. Father, I pray in this time, in this season, that you would be with those who have lost loved ones and miss family members that just struggle in this season. Father, it's such a blessing to celebrate Jesus' birth, and we're so thankful for the birth of our Savior. But Father, help us to also remember those during this time that are just so lonely. Help us to encourage them and just to reach out to those that you put on our heart, Father, each and every day. And just help us to be sensitive to that leading, Father. Father, I pray that you would be with our ministers here, not just in this church, but all over this country. Father, that they would feel encouraged and that you would just bless them for the work that they do for your kingdom and for you, Father, for their continued trusting and of your leading, Father. I pray that you would just keep them safe and healthy. Father, be with the missionaries that are scattered around the world. I pray that you would provide for each and every one of them, and they would just find peace in this season, and that they would be a blessing to those around them. Holy Spirit, just open our ears during this time and help us to be attentive to your word and just to be ready to receive what you have for us today, Father. We love you and we thank you for loving us. Holy Spirit, be our teacher. Jesus, please just continue to intercede on our behalf, and we are so thankful for your birth and your sacrifice on our behalf that we might be rejoined to Father God. We love you and we thank you for this time. All these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, I tell you what, y'all catch up real quick on a jazz version, I'll tell you that. So amen for that. Hymn number 118, what child is this?
Thank you.
Micah 5:2, it says, out of you will come one who will be ruler over Israel. This is old little town of Bethlehem.
grateful for Houston and the choir, and those at the instruments this morning. You all sang loudly. I heard children singing loudly on that first song, Hallelujah. I know there are many of you that are ready for Christmas to get here, and some are ready for it to be done with. The main thing that happens at Christmas, we know what that is. It's not just lights, decorations, parties, food, days off of work, but it's the gifts, right? Gifts. Most of us exchange gifts, especially the children are expecting some gifts. And the biblical record reveals to us that after Jesus' birth, there were some men that were identified in the Bible as magi. They were astrologers, men who were stargazers. They were in a kingdom somewhere far in the far east, and they located an unusual star in the sky, and they followed it. Surely God prompted them to follow that, and they went to Jerusalem. They were looking for a king. That star was symbolic of a coming king. And after meeting with King Herod and given directions, they went and followed the star and found him in a house. Matthew chapter 2 verse 11 reminds us it was not in the cradle, was not in a stall, it was in a house. And he was labeled as a child and not just an infant. So it could have been anywhere from infancy to 2 years of age that Christ had grown by this time. And they brought him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And that much has been made of the gifts, what they represent of him. Suffice it to say, these gifts, while they were good and they helped the family, I'm sure, being away from their own homeland, it was certainly one way that God provided for them to have their trips financed in the days to come. If you're familiar with the Bible story, you know and recognize that Joseph was warned in a dream to take the child and to leave the country and to take that child to Egypt. It would have taken funds to do so. He probably had only planned to come from Nazareth down to Jerusalem and back. And so those gifts they brought would help to fund that trip to Egypt. They stayed there for some time until Herod died, being told in a dream to come back. They came back to the land, and although they seemed to want to settle in the south part, God led them to go up to Nazareth and settle there. So they went back to Galilee, so there'd be a lot of funds needed for that. So the Lord provided through those gifts. And a couple of weeks ago in our Daily Bread devotional, and it's a publication that we make available to you quarterly, I have downsized the amount that we've received because I've always had many left over. Well, I'm glad to see that this year they're being picked up and that there are just a few of those copies left. But this past couple of weeks ago, there was a summary of a historical person, an actual person named Nicholas, who was born to some Grecian parents. And they died while he was young. He was then raised by a grandfather who was a very godly man, raised him to know God and to trust God. And after some time, and he became an adult, he took his inheritance to bless others and spent the course of his life giving away all of his money to those who had need. Now, he was deemed a saint at some point after he had died, and his life inspired the character that we now know as Santa Claus. He was Saint Nicholas. And we see these images of Santa Claus around, who was motivated by a devotion to honor God and to serve the needs of others, and that prompted him to give generously. It is my prayer that we would be prompted by a greater devotion, a devotion to our Redeemer, a devotion to the one who loves our souls and who has given of his very self for us in this next year that we face. And that this idea of giving was not just an inspiration of a man who lived a good life and gave of his inheritance. And we should follow that example, by the way. But we also have a greater example than that. And this morning we're going to look at Isaiah chapter 9, one verse, verse 6. And you should, if you were here last week, you'll be familiar with this passage of Scripture. It's found in the context of last week's passage. But if you'll stand with me, we'll read this one verse out of Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. It'll be familiar to you. You've probably seen it on a couple of Christmas cards already this year. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we acknowledge you this morning. We thank you for being able to come into your house and to gather with other believers bought by the blood of Christ, and to celebrate our God who's giving, and to think about this gift at this part of the time of the year that was given by you to man to ultimately make the way for our salvation. We pray, Father, that you would stir up in our hearts celebration, acknowledgement, worship, Lord God, obedience, a desire to follow after you, and then to share you with others. Lord God, do your work in our midst this morning. I pray that not only the power of the word and the truth of it, but the Spirit would move in our midst and draw us close to you as well as to one another, that we might walk in a manner worthy of the gospel to which you've called us when we leave this place. It would be our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. May be seated. Thank you. As we mentioned, this passage should be familiar to you, not only because you were here last week, but because it is a familiar passage at this time of the year to see plastered on walls or in homes or in cards, even on wrappings of gifts. But this passage of Scripture has an introduction, I think, that is probably very often overlooked. Just in this one verse, we can gloss over these first two sentences. A child will be born to us, a son will be given to us. And just acknowledge as believers, well, yes, that's the son Jesus Christ. He's the child that was born. We celebrate birth in Bethlehem in a manger and eventually grew to be a man and would pay the price of our sins. So we acknowledge that. But I think that it is important for us to recognize that even though the rest of this is important, the government will rest on his shoulders, the government or the kingdom, more biblically speaking. When Jesus came, he said, I usher in the kingdom. The kingdom of God is at hand. It is near. So repent and prepare yourselves. And this is what the writers after Christ presented to us, that he has a kingdom. He's a king. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we have a ruler. If you yield to him, he becomes the ruler of your life. He is indeed a king, and he has a kingdom that he is overseeing and that he is leading us into. And it's on his own shoulders. He's the one that carries it. He's the one that brings it to its fruition. He's the one that makes it successful. We simply get to be members of that kingdom by grace through faith. And he will make that kingdom to grow in size and in power and in significance. And it will be a peaceful kingdom and we'll have no end. Well, we know that's future speaking, because right now there's no peace. And it doesn't seem that God's in control of things in this world, but they will be. There is a promise of a coming kingdom, a millennial kingdom, and then ultimately the kingdom of God will be made reality for all of us as he comes and finishes things out. He's unique among all other people who've lived. He is a counselor and he is God himself. He's the everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And all of that's prophetic language. It's pointing to a coming ruler. But the question is, how will he come into the world? The people who read this had no idea that he would come and be born in a manger. Most of us would assume that God would bring a ruler to us and he'd be born in a palace. He'd be born to royalty. He'd be born to those that are of noble state. But God did it all differently. And it was a mystery to those who read it, and it continues to be a unique mystery for us to comprehend how God brought about our salvation. But he brought him about into the world to be born like all of us. A child will be born to us, and a son will be given to us. It's important that we gain an understanding of these two phrases. I'm first going to look at unto us a child is born. Unto us a child is born. That's an indicator of the humanity of this one that would be born. We know him as Jesus Christ. This is an indicator of his humanity. A child will be born. How do all of us come into the world? We are born. We come through being carried in a womb by a mother, and then eventually a birthing process takes place and we come forth, whether that be C-section or natural, through great pain, or you're dosed up. You are born into this world through a mother. This one that would come is going to be born, like all other humanity, going to be born as a baby. Would come through a mother. The biblical record says that while Joseph and Mary were in Bethlehem, Luke chapter 2, verse 6 through 7 says, the days were completed for her to give birth. It was no accident that at a particular time, Caesar Augustus, an emperor of that area, would call for a census and decree that all of those go to your hometown to be counted for your census. And that in those days, Joseph, the husband of Mary, would be responsible for getting down to Bethlehem, the city of David, where his family came from, to be counted. And he would bring Mary with him. She was pregnant, and he had responsibility for her. And so he brought her with her. It was not just coincidence or accident or chance that she would give birth in that area, because prophecies had said, as Brother Houston read earlier when we sang Away in a Manger, he'd be born in Bethlehem. Oh, little town of Bethlehem. Ephrathah. The southern town of Bethlehem. There's a northern town of Bethlehem in Israel as well, but Ephrathah was the fruitful town down in the south. And that's exactly where Christ came to be born, as Joseph and Mary traveled down there to respond to a census. So the days were completed. Everything came to fruition for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son. He was the firstborn of Mary. And she wrapped him in cloths, laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. The Hebrew letter confirms this. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17, the word declares that Jesus had to be made like his brethren in all things. He had to be born like all the rest of us, or his sacrifice would not have mattered. Would have just been a divine person coming down and being all divine, but not able to identify with our humanity. But he came and identified with us. He became like us so that he could indeed bear the price of our sin upon his own body and do it in our place, on our behalf. A little further in chapter 4, verse 14 through 15, since we have this high priest who's passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, then let us hold fast our confession. We don't have a high priest who can't sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who's been tempted in all things as we are and yet was sinless. That's Christ. He was born human. He sympathizes with everything you go through. Listen, you go through life, you go through some tough spots, and you start thinking, well, God just can't understand. You are wrong. Because God in flesh came down. And he experienced all the temptations. He didn't yield to them, but he experienced the temptations that you and I face every day. In all the areas that could possibly we could be tempted, Christ was tempted, and he did not yield to those temptations. If you have the false idea that being tempted makes you a sinner, you're wrong. All of humanity is tempted. It is when you yield to temptation and you sin. And we're all going to do that until we have Christ in our heart. I'll tell you, we just give in to the sinful nature. It is what we received in the curse of Adam. When he sinned and we caught that disease. And so we needed someone to come to identify with us in human form and to be brought into our midst, who would bear up the very sacrifice, would be able to die and yet without sin, so that he could offer to God a sacrifice that would be satisfactory to him. And he could do it on our behalf. Because God's righteous wrath against our sin is real. The second significant truth, not only is a child born to us to indicate his humanity, a son is given to us. Now he would be a man, he would be a boy, he would be a son. This was definitely told to Mary and to Joseph. If you look at the Luke version of the angel Gabriel coming and speaking to Mary, says you'll have a son. His name will be Jesus. When the angel talked to Joseph, she will have a son. You'll name him Jesus. They didn't need ultrasound in that day to find out what was a boy or a girl. God knew. And he told them a son will be born. This fulfilled the Old Testament prophecy. A son will be given to you. And notice it doesn't say born to you. The child is born to you, but this son is given to you. When John introduced his gospel, you've heard me say this probably four times in the last 4 weeks. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word became flesh, dwelt among us. We know that to be Christ. Jesus was God. He was given to us, not just born to us, but he was given to us as a gift from heaven. I would challenge you to read the book of Isaiah this year and read through the conversations that Isaiah as a prophet presents that the Father in heaven is having about his son Jesus. Even before Jesus comes along, 700 years before Christ is born, the Father speaking about Jesus in that prophecy. And then you'll also find places where the Son is speaking about his Father in those prophecies. He sent me as a choice arrow. He's put his Spirit upon me so that I might proclaim liberty to those that are captive. There's this conversation. The Son was always with the Father. He's eternal. And for the Father to send the Son is to send himself, God the Son, to come down to earth and be wrapped with us. This is the divine part of Jesus. We can't hardly comprehend this. How can you be fully God and fully man? But that's exactly what Christ was. He was unique in that. He was the incarnation of God. He came and revealed God to us. Mary's conception was unique. When we read through the Luke passage, we find the woman's pregnancy didn't occur because man impregnated her. When Mary was notified by the angel Gabriel, you're going to be with child. You remember how she responded? Well, how can that be? I've not known a man. I've not had any kind of relations with a man that I might become pregnant. And the response from the angel was, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. And the power of the highest will overshadow you, and this child will be a holy child. Somehow, this was not a divine human cohabitation like imagined in some mythological accounts. This was a supernatural creative act of the Holy Spirit in the womb of this woman in order to bring about the holy seed into this world. And he would be wrapped with flesh just like the rest of us are wrapped in flesh. But he would be God in flesh, fulfilling Scripture. That's the mystery called the incarnation. God came to earth in the form of a man, was born of a woman, remained divine, and yet was human. And of course, that fulfills the prophetic word from God to the serpent in the garden. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. After man and woman fell in that garden, God gave a curse to each of them, but gave a curse to the devil and said, there will be war between your seed and the seed of the woman. And you know what's unique is that throughout every begat in the Scripture, and you probably quit reading sometimes like I used to. Oh, begats, my goodness, I'm reading all this stuff. It was always the seed of a man that was mentioned. When Jesus was born, he was the seed of a woman. Because it was not the seed of a man, it was the seed of God. That promised seed that was promised to Abraham way back in Genesis was the holy seed of Christ Jesus, who was born in that woman. And it was the seed of a woman. He was divine. Make no mistake. He was human. He wept like we did. There are times, the shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. He wept. He had emotions. He responded with anguish. There were times when he was indignant and he was angry. There were times he was weary. There were times he was thirsty and hungry. There were times that he was tired and he needed to sleep. He was human as you and I are. In fact, the most human thing about him was he died. He not only was born of a woman, he eventually died. But God can't die. But Jesus did. And then he was raised to life because he satisfied God's righteous sacrifice. as he gave of himself. He was human and he was divine. And in this, we can presume and deduct that God gave his son. He gave of himself. He wasn't just born into this world. God gave us. And isn't that what Jesus said in John 3:16? You've all got that one memorized, right? God so loved the world that he what? He gave his only begotten son. Whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God gave his son. I've said this before. I'll say it again. You and I are never more like God than when we give or when we forgive. Never. God gave. And we needed him to give. Because if he had not given us Christ, we could not be saved. Jesus said that. Whoever believes in him would not perish. If Christ had not come, we'd be a pitiful bunch. But God sent the Son as a gift to each of us so that by grace through faith in him and his sacrifice and his resurrection, we can be forgiven of sin and saved from the wages of sin, which is death, and be made a child of God. You might say, well, how does that prove anything? I'm going to run to Proverbs chapter 30 because I just read this yesterday. In chapter 30 of Proverbs, as I'm about to finish out that book, we find this phrase, who's ascended into heaven and descended? Who's gathered the wind in his fist? Who's wrapped the waters in his garment? Who's established all the ends of the earth? What's his name or his son's name? Surely you know. Back in the day of Solomon, the wisdom writers knew there was a son. It was no mystery to all of them. May have been a mystery to some, but there was the prospect and the prophecy of a son that was going to come. And this son had marvelous abilities. He had the same abilities as God. If you go back to Job and you read in the last few chapters, 38 through 42, and you read when God starts speaking to Job, he starts telling him everything that he's done. And Job can only listen and go, wow, I'm not God, you are. And many of these are right in line with that. He's ascended into heaven and descended. He's gathered the wind in his fists. He's wrapped the waters in his garments. He's established the ends of the earth. It is Christ Jesus, the Son. What's his name? What's his son's name? Well, we know his name now. It's Jesus, the Christ, the Lamb of God, the Holy One, the one wrapped in flesh, the Word, the truth, the way, the life, the resurrection. He's the Son of God. And the Father assigned a Son to come and proclaim liberty to the captives as a prophet, to come in and usher the kingdom of heaven as a king and to offer up the final and sufficient sacrifice as a priest. He fulfilled his entire mission because the Father gave him to us. When we celebrate Christmas this year, we're going to give gifts to each other. We're going to express our love toward one another. But we can never outgive God in his gift to us, in giving us of his Son. A Son who was obedient, a Son who was faithful, a Son who loved the Father, and the Father loved him. And the Apostle Paul said, this Son has come and he's done his work. He humbled himself. He became obedient unto death, even death on the cross. And God's raised him up to the highest place and exalted him, given him a name above all other names. So that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. We have that marvelous gift from God. Paul says in another place, he's an indescribable gift. He's an unspeakable gift. We can't fully explain him, but by the Spirit, he allows us to know him. Jesus declared, Matthew chapter 9, verse 13, I've come to call sinners to repentance. John chapter 5, he said, I've come in my Father's name. In John chapter 6, he said, I've come to do the will of God. In chapter 10, he said, I've come to give you life and give you life more abundantly. Chapter 12 of John, he said, I've come as a light to shine in a dark world. We talked about light last week, how he came as light. Jesus Christ came, he fulfilled these truths. Because God gave him to us. Let me tell you this. He came once, but he's coming again. The last prayer in the Bible is, "Come quickly, Lord Jesus," to remind us we need to look forward to that day. He will come again. He will establish his kingdom. He will take care of the wicked, and he will destroy them forever, and we will have eternity with him. Peter says, you have an inheritance. It's in heaven. It's unfading. It's reserved for you. So no one can steal it from you. It's yours and it's there. It's waiting for that day. God gave so we could have all of that. God is overwhelmingly good to us. When Jesus ascended into heaven, if you'll remember in Acts chapter 1, verse 11, his disciples were standing there and they were watching him go up, and they were just astounded, watching him go up and disappear into the clouds. And the angel said to them, you know, this Jesus that you watched ascend into heaven, he will come back and he will take you up. He will come back in the same way that you watched him go into heaven. He's going to come back one day. Apostle Paul, and it's a passage I read at gravesides just about every time I do a funeral. Paul wrote to correct some misinformation in the church about resurrection. Many thought if they weren't alive when Jesus came, they couldn't get to heaven. They would miss the resurrection. But Paul said, I don't want you to be uninformed, brethren. King James says, I don't want you to be ignorant. I want you to know the truth about those who are asleep, so that you do not grieve like the rest in the world who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, I don't know about you, but I do. I believe he died and rose again. Even so, God will bring with him those who are asleep in Christ Jesus. That connects back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 9 through 11, where Paul said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. When a believer dies, they immediately go into the presence of the Lord. And being in the presence of the Lord until the day he comes in the clouds of the sky right here, he brings with him all who've fallen asleep in Christ. And he goes on to say, we say this by the word of the Lord. We who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who've fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall be with him always. So comfort one another with these words. God gave us a gift, and it's a gift that just keeps on giving. He's coming back, just like he said he would. And he's going to bless. He's going to bring his people with him. There's going to be a resurrection of those who've died in Christ in the twinkling of an eye. 1 Corinthians 15, the rest of us who are alive and remain will be caught up together with him in the air, and we'll get to be with the Lord forever. Isn't that what Jesus said in John chapter 14? I go and prepare a place for you, and since I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, receive you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. What a marvelous promise from Christ. I would say this. There's a future glory waiting for all who've humbled themselves, trusted in the provision of Christ by God's grace through personal faith. Have you received that gift from God? Have you experienced being born again, your life transformed from the inside out, being made into a new creation by the dwelling Holy Spirit? If you have, you wait for that day that Christ comes back. You believe that that baby born in a manger, grew to be the one who offered the only satisfactory sacrifice to God for our sin. And if you trust him for that salvation and you believe that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. It's the words of Scripture. But you have to get over yourself to do that. You can't be the king of your life and invite Jesus to come in and have a part. He has to become the king because he's divine. He's not just holy. And he desires to rule, and he will rule you with grace and truth, and he'll even sometimes correct you, but it'll be a fatherly chastisement to correct you to walk the way he's called you to walk. If you've received him, and you have this promise that he's going to come again, he'll take you to be with him, whether it's through death or through the resurrection, you have that promise. And I pray And if you've not trusted Him, there's no greater gift in all of human experience that you can have than to trust Him. And again, you must be humbled, you must be broken in heart to recognize I'm a sinner in need of salvation, and no one can bring it to me but God through Christ, because He gave His Son. He didn't just have a son, a child born to us. He gave His Son for us. There's no greater gift than that. And I'll say this, if you've received Christ, there's no greater gift to give than that which you've received. If you've trusted Christ and you have His life inside of you, I'm going to tell you, be generous with that gift. If it's in the expression of a token or a gift that you give to someone, give the gift of Jesus to someone this year. It is a gift that continues to give, even through those who've received it. It is for us to pass it on. We can see how someone named Nicholas might be moved in his spirit if he trusted God to give to others who had need. May we be found faithful to be godly and like Christ and to give. Child is born, his humanity. A son is given, his divinity. And He placed that in our responsibility so that we could be good stewards and pass Him on to those around us who need Him. May your Christmas be one filled with joy because you've been obedient to this task the Lord has called us to as His children. Let's pray together. Father, You are good. You do good. Your mercy never ends. You are faithful, God. What You've started in us who belong to You, You will finish. And Lord God, there's no greater joy in the heart of a believer than to acknowledge that to live is Christ and to die is gain. But Father God, in the meantime, You've given us a task to be good stewards, to receive this gift from You, and then, Lord God, to utilize it and to pass it on for Your glory, Your name's sake. Father God, help us to be found faithful in that as we go through this season. Meet with family, with friends, coworkers, classmates, neighbors. Lord God, use us as instruments in Your hands so that someone else might receive this marvelous, unspeakable gift that You've given to us, named Jesus. We love You, Father, and we know it's because You've loved us first. And it's in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Let's stand together as we have opportunity to respond however the Lord's moved you. The altar is open. I'll be glad to pray with you, but let's take time to respond to Him.
Waited before and
All right, let me pray with you. Father, we are humbled before your great throne of grace and mercy that you have allowed us to meet together today to worship you and to exalt your name, and Lord God, to consider the great gift that you have given to us in Christ. We pray now, Father, that we'll be motivated and inspired to move from this place and then walking in obedience as we joyfully testify of your goodness to us, that it might impact the lives of others around us. Lord God, we desire for you to be exalted in that. So we pray these things in the name of Jesus, by your Holy Spirit. Amen. I would ask you to be seated for just a moment as I introduce Brittany to you. Come on up here. This is Brittany Butts. She has been attending with us for, she says, 6 months or so, about 6 months. She's been coming for a while. She came this morning. She has trusted Christ as her Savior and Lord, and now she wants to follow baptism and be a member here at First Baptist Church. And so we have her coming as a profession of faith. Amen. And we always celebrate folks like that, but hope you feel special. We will have her to be up here at the conclusion of the service, so you can come by and welcome her and encourage her in the days to come. And God bless you. Hope to see you tonight or this afternoon to help with this box ministry. We do want to be a blessing to others, so if you can come today and help with that, it would be a great, great help. God bless you. I'm going to turn it over to Brother Houston. Be seated here until the service is concluded.
Would you please stand as we close with Emmanuel.